amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord this evening. As I mentioned to you, we're putting in a new sound system, a new speaker. So we have just a temporary setup with our portable speakers here tonight. So if you're in the balcony and you can't hear, or if you're in the back of the auditorium, there's a lot of empty pews up front here. And so go ahead and move around if you can't hear as well as you'd like to hear. And because usually underneath the balcony, it's a delayed voice coming through the speakers. And so if you seem to think that I'm speaking when I'm not speaking or whatever, however it works, feel free to get up and move. That will not bother me at all. And you can come up here in the front pew if you'd like, and you can hear really well. There's no distractions up front. The farther you go back, the more distractions. And so if you don't want any distractions, just sit on the front pew and I think you might learn more from that as well. But Acts chapter 4. On Wednesday nights, we're going through the life of the Apostle Peter. The life of the Apostle Peter, seeing things through Peter's eyes. And we started with Peter getting saved when he met the Lord Jesus Christ and called him. And then we find that Jesus was discipling Peter the whole time that Jesus walked here on the earth in his public ministry. After he met Peter, he started discipling Peter because he knew how important of a role Peter would play after he would ascend to heaven during the apostolic age. And so we've studied all up through the Gospels with Peter. Now we're in the book of Acts here. And Peter's doing the work that Jesus discipled him to do in the apostolic age. Now that in itself is a blessing. Can I tell you that God always prepares you for what he calls you to accomplish? Whatever God's work is, whatever his plan is for your life, he will prepare you for that so that you can accomplish what he has for you to accomplish in this 21st century. And we see this in Peter's life as Jesus was preparing him. All those battles he had with Peter, we studied all those, and there was a purpose for every one of those. Those were lessons that Jesus was teaching Peter in preparing him to be able to use those truths and to use those lessons during this apostolic age. And so now we've been studying here in the book of Acts. Peter's doing the work. And Peter's second sermon is what we're looking at here. I mean, that's what we looked at in chapter 3, at the end of chapter 3 there. Peter's second sermon after the first apostolic miracle of healing. Now, Peter realized he had the hand of God upon his life. And he had preached, seen 3,000 get saved after Pentecost. And then we find that he goes to the temple and there's a lame man, been lame from his birth. And through the power that God had given to him and the sign that God wanted to work through, he was able to heal this man. And this lame man started shouting and praising God. And they went into the temple, which opened the door for Peter to preach and to present Christ. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's done. That's what we studied up to this place. And verse 25, chapter 3 and verse 25, let's get this established before we move into chapter 4. But this was the message that Peter had presented to them that had seen this lame man walk. And he says to them, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And then he says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away from every one of you from his iniquities. Now, he gets across here that the Jewish race was a chosen race. God chose the nation of Israel to be his chosen people all through the Old Testament. And underneath the law and everything that God had given him, he chose to work through the Jewish race to bring forth the Messiah. And he did that through Jesus Christ. And in doing that, he says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. They would be presented with the truth of Christ, the Messiah, first. the Jews would have first opportunity. Now, as they would reject him, it was always God's plan to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile and to all the world during this church age. But the Jews didn't know that. And so he addressed them first of all and said that he would give them the first opportunity to understand that Jesus was the Messiah. Yeah. As they would look to him and receive his truths, they would be blessed by how it would change their lives. Now, I love that because that's exactly the way how it works in Gentiles. In this New Testament church age, it is how it works in every person's life, in every family's life. Because that promise that God made to Abraham would extend to all the people on the earth, Jews and Gentiles, during this New Testament church age. But he says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son, sent him to bless you. And the blessings would come as they would turn away every one of you from his iniquity to Christ-likeness. That's what brings the blessings of God into our lives. It changes our lives. Yeah. Turning from iniquity to Christ-likeness. Amen. So that's what that was the message. That's what we finished that up. We preached that last Wednesday night. Now we're ready for chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 tonight. And so go ahead and stand with me. If you're at home, you can go ahead and stand. I encourage you to do it. Act like you're right here in the midst with us. Act like you're on the front pew because you got a really good view right there on your couch with the television in front of you. There's not a lot of distractions between you and that television, so act like you're on the front pew and read with us and praise with us and just enjoy and receive what God has for you at home as well. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, that was Peter, John, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved, that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Yeah. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's a tremendous, tremendous passage of scripture that we're studying tonight. So let's bow before the Lord and ask him to bless us. Father, we come to you once again. Again, we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be here on this Wednesday night. Thank you for each one that's sacrificed and have come out assembling here. Thank you for those that are home viewing through the live stream. And I just pray, God, for each one that they would sense your presence and they would open up their hearts and their minds to receive what you have for them. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and you can be seated there. So in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, what happens here, again, the Jews are 5,000 got saved. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. But Peter's preaching was being impacted. Amen. I mean, he was having an impact on the people's lives. It was being used. The Holy Spirit of God was convicting. The Holy Spirit of God had been working. And what a blessing. And then we find chapter 4 and verse 1. The return of the opposition. The return of the opposition is what we're looking at here tonight. Peter should have, and I believe he did, didn't say, but Peter should have known that things were too easy. Nobody was opposing him. Now, he walked with Christ, and he's seen a lot of, after the first year, he saw nothing but opposition. He was prepared for opposition. But to start with, the coming of the Holy Ghost, Pentecost. He preaches with power. People are listening. 3,000 get saved. He sees the miracle of healing. This man that had never walked, that was born lame, and he lifts him up. Silver and gold have I none. But what he had was Jesus Christ that in faith in him brought this man this healing. And now he is up jumping and rejoicing and praising God. It was easy. Maybe too easy. Never go looking for adversity, but always be ready for it. Hadn't that been a lesson for us this last year? I didn't go looking for COVID. But I think I was ready for it. I made it through it. And I think as a church, we didn't go looking for it. But I think we were ready for it. Nobody wanted it. But no one's lost their salvation. Amen. I trust that no one's turned their back on Christ. No one has lost their faith. Didn't go looking for it. But things were going along pretty smooth. We were seeing souls saved. Church was growing. Finances were great. My goodness, missions was great. I mean, we've been doing a great work for the cause of Christ. It might have been too easy. We've never been promised easy. Never go looking for adversity. You need to always be ready. See, because we're not in heaven. Now, easy comes in heaven. Glorified bodies. No COVID. No heart disease. No pain, no suffering. I mean, all the different things. Yeah, heaven is easy. We're not in heaven. The millennial is going to be easy. Christ is going to be sitting on his throne in Jerusalem. And the whole world is going to be ruled and reigned by Jesus Christ for 1,000 years as he sits on his throne in Israel, in Jerusalem. Amen. Yeah, that's prophecy. That's easy. Don't expect easy right now. The closer we get to the rapture of the church and the 7-year tribulation period, nothing going to be easy. It's going to be more and more difficult. There's going to be greater and greater persecution of true Christianity. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. I'll get it right here. I'm looking at it. I'm just not giving it to you right. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. Wow. See, what's taking place right now, outside of genuine Christianity, outside of your belief in the Bible, the whole world is being deceived. Many might think the whole world's being deceived about COVID. Many might think the whole world's being deceived about a lot of different things. But it is a reality that Satan is very much alive and well. And he is deceiving. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. All the demons of hell, all the angels that are a third of all the angels created following after Lucifer. In verse 12, it says this, "Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." Those that are at that, in those heavenly grandstands that have already run their race, and they're in heaven, rejoice. You're not going to have to go through some of the very difficult times leading up to the rapture. You're not going to have to go through some very difficult times when Satan is going to do some of his evil, most evil work. He said, you rejoice. You've already run your race. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's us. I hope you're following with me tonight because this is important. This is good stuff. He said, looking down, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. His time is shorter now than it's ever been. We're closer to the rapture than we've ever been. I'm not predicting. I'm not telling you how close it is, when it's going to happen. No man knows that. I'm just saying we're closer. And what's going to happen the closer we get? The devil is going to try to deceive more and more and accomplish his evil works, which means persecution of the truth that's on the planet Earth right now, and that's the Bible. He will attack those who are preaching the word first. He will try to eliminate anyone that stands for the truth. The one thing that we have on our side is Christ, who's already defeated the devil, who resurrected from hell and death. And he's on our side. Praise the Lord. He is the one that we are serving. And Satan cannot do anything outside of God allowing it. But we are headed for the tribulation. The world is going to be prepared for the tribulation to go in that direction, which is Antichrist. So don't expect easy. Church, we can't expect easy, but be prepared for it. Be prepared for adversity. Be prepared for attacks, whatever they might be. So we have chapter 4. I believe Peter was ready. I believe the apostles were ready. It had been going too easy. They should not, and I believe they were expecting it, just not knowing when. But now it's here. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. The same ones that turned the people against Jesus just 8 weeks earlier. Not another generation. The very same people. The very same religious rulers. Just 8 weeks earlier. The Bible warns us of false prophets and false religious leaders. Because false prophets who might claim the name of Christ but are nowhere near living for Christ, Satan can appear as an angel of light, but there's no light in him. False prophets do the greatest harm to genuine biblical Christianity. They really do. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look there with me. In 1 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, the Holy Spirit of God, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to," and that is what's present today, "seducing spirits and doctrines," what they're teaching you to believe, of devils. They're not presenting it at doctrines of devils. They're presenting it to you as religion. They're presenting it to you as something acceptable, but it's not in the Bible. It's not of Christ. It's doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. These are those that are blinded themselves. These are those that might even at one time or other believe the truth and had the truth, but have been yielding to influences of the devil to get them to change their preaching and change their doctrines and change their beliefs and presenting it as if it's Bible. All of us can think of some of that that's been going on. Maybe you've been impacted by that at some point in churches that you've attended or people that you have followed. Wow. We've been warned. So, don't go looking for it, but expect it. Don't go and join a church. Don't go and listen to somebody that's preaching heresy. No, it's out there, but don't go looking for it. Look and stay with the truth from God's word. It's almost like the political movement today. The Democrats want to get you to believe everything that they're saying. The Republicans want you to believe everything that they're saying. And if the Democrats can get a Republican to agree with them, they're going to promote that. They're going to put that out there on everywhere for everyone to see. And can I say, if a Republican can get a Democrat to believe with him, which is harder to do, and if they could do that, then they're going to promote that. That's just because it's somebody who claims to be this, but really does not have the doctrines of this. Somebody that claims to be a Christian that has no sight of who Christ is. They don't have any idea of what is Christ-likeness and what is Antichrist. And they're preaching Antichrist in so many different areas, and they're claiming to be Christ-like. It just doesn't, they don't go together. So the same ones, the very same ones that had led the people to oppose Jesus, now they're back. They led the people to turn on Jesus and eventually cry out, crucify him, and let Barabbas go. They had such a hatred for Jesus that they would rather let a murderer go by than let Jesus released and not be crucified. What mentality is that? That's an evil mentality. That's a very evil mentality. They feared the loss of their positions. For if people started believing this Christ was the Messiah and they were not teaching that in their synagogues, and the Jews were not preaching and teaching that in their temples, they would lose the people. They would lose their finances. They would lose the praise of men, which was more important the reality of Jesus being the Messiah. Wow. Can you see how the human nature is the same today as it's always been? You can relate many things, and I won't do that tonight, but you can see this in just how the mind of is affected by the human nature of man. Truth was not what they were after, especially when God's truth didn't agree with their teachings. Can I tell you that the Bible trumps religion? The Bible trumps rituals. The Bible trumps tradition. If we ever come to the place where we find that something that we are just doing out of tradition is actually opposite what the Bible teaches us to do, then let's get rid of whatever the tradition is. But can I tell you, you have to be aware of traditions and landmarks because they were established, hopefully, what we are following in tradition and landmarks have been established by those that love the Bible and love Christ and establish these things such as Sunday school. Because I've heard a lot of speaking now of some saying, well, after this COVID, we found out, I don't think we're going to ever have Sunday school again. Really? You're not going to take the time to teach children on their level that they're at, the most important things for them to learn, and that is the teachings of Christ? We're not going to have this anymore. We're not going to have that anymore. Listen to me. If it's tradition, yeah, then get rid of it. I'm not saying we need to stay with everything. We can learn some things ourselves, but the Bible trumps it all. I believe there's biblical reasons and biblical scripture behind everything we do at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Standards, convictions, holiness, righteousness. There's a reason for all of those things. You don't throw holiness out the window because people don't want to dress properly. You don't throw righteousness out the window because they don't want to be taught the truths of God's word. No, the Bible trumps it all. But the opposition will be there. The closer we stand to genuine Christianity, the greater the opposition as we get closer to the end of days. Don't go looking for it, but be ready for it. Amen. Not going to change what I preach, as long as I know what I preach is Bible. No matter what. They call it hate crimes, whatever they want to do. I'm not changing what I'm preaching as long as I know it's the Bible that I'm preaching. I'm not going looking for adversity, but I'll be ready for it. Yeah. Opposition returned. Same ones. Verse 2. Being grieved. They're grieved. Huh. They thought by crucifying Christ, they would get rid of this Jesus movement. That's a satanic mentality. We can get rid of those who preach this, it'll get rid of what the Bible says. If we can pass enough laws to limit them in preaching what they're preaching and put them in jail for what they're preaching, then that'll get rid of those who truly believe in this Jesus religion. It's not a religion. It is biblical truth. So they're grieved because it's back. Now, how can you not just really love that and rejoice over that? No matter what the world does, they will not get rid of Christ, the teachings of Christ. The church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It will stand until Christ calls it home. And that's the rapture. Then they can believe whatever they want to believe. Yeah. It also, no doubt, brought back convictions over what and how they had done it. They knew Jesus was innocent. They knew that he had done nothing to be found guilty of crucifixion. They lied and they deceived the people, the government that they had to convince to crucify him, the Roman government. They lied and they deceived Can I tell you that's not part of who God is? That is the very nature of the devil himself. And we can see the devil working through them. When they heard that they were preaching the resurrection from the dead through Jesus, that meaning of that is if Jesus was alive, he was the true Messiah. And they're grieved because that's not what they're teaching. That's not what their church is teaching. I remember knocking on a door, soul winning, and a retired priest answered the door. I told him I was an independent Baptist preacher. He kind of smiled, and we got talking a little bit about here and there. And I asked him, I said, let me ask you something. You seem like a really nice man. But if you was to die today, do you know that heaven would be your home? I said, have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? He looked at me, really with kind of a somber look, and he said, the church doesn't teach that. He wouldn't let me go on and talk to him anymore about that. He said, the church doesn't teach that. And so you're going to die and go to a devil's hell because the church that you attend doesn't teach the truth. If it's a truth, then you ought to want to know the truth. If it's a truth, then study it to make sure it's a truth. And once you have proven it to be the truth, then stand by it. Whether the church you attend, you're just attending the wrong church. If Jesus was alive, he was the true Messiah. If I'm Antichrist, I don't want to hear that Christ is the Messiah. Can I tell you, that man was not a bad man. I mean, very nice, moral. We sit there and talked about some things, and I went on trying to open the door there. But he wouldn't receive Jesus as a Savior because that's not what his church taught. Not necessarily bad people that reject Christ. But they're ignorant of who Jesus is. That's the Apostle Paul. He thought he was serving God by persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. He had been taught everything about religion. He had been taught everything about the world. But no one had ever taught him about the person of Jesus Christ. He thought he was serving God by persecuting Christ. By persecuting the church until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then he says, I can't believe how I've been living my life now that I see who Jesus is. If only all people would do that and change how they're living their life, it's what Peter just preached. You have the first chance because Jesus came to be a blessing. And the first blessing is repentance, conversion, a changed life. Blessings of God. Yeah. They put him in jail. Verse 3. And they laid hands on them. Now, as they spake, he was still preaching. He was still speaking. And they come up and they laid hands on them and put them in hold or put them in jail. They had worldly support. To be able to do this, they had worldly support, you see, because they had the Roman government backing them. They had to lie to the Roman government. The Roman government let them do what they wanted to do there. They just didn't want them to keep the civil rest. They did not want there to be an uprising.
And so they had the backing of the Roman government. And so as they would deceive the Roman government, they would do what they wanted to do, legally or unlegally. And they put their hands on them and they put them in holding. You know, as we look back in history, they had the support of the Roman government, but right after this, Rome would eventually turn on them. Rome would eventually burn down the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. See, Satan has no loyalty except to himself. Religion has no loyalty. But God will never leave us nor forsake us. That's loyalty. Even though Peter was now in jail, I think he was prepared for it. Didn't go looking for it, but as it came, he didn't change his message. He was prepared for it. Much like Paul in Acts in chapter 16, let me just read that to you. The Bible says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, Paul and Silas, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Don't let them get out. Don't let them escape. You make sure you keep them in jail. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And there was revival in the prison house. Why? Because they didn't go looking for it, but they were ready for it. And if God allowed them to be put in a jail, then they would turn the jail sentence into a revival for Christ. I truly believe that Peter was there and preaching Christ in the jail. And just like the Apostle Paul, he had revival there because he would not stop preaching Christ. Because he was ready for the adversity and the persecution, even the imprisonment. Yeah. Wow. They put him in jail. Verse 4, and we're done. Everybody with me tonight? They're in jail. Howbeit, even though Peter now is being persecuted and he's in jail, what he had done before this, howbeit, many of them which heard the word, possibly even saw Peter being led off to jail, believed. And the number of the men, not just souls, but the number of the men was about 5,000. I love that. I believe it. I believe that's separate from the 3,000 that were saved at Pentecost. But now, as he was ministering to all these people, and it was being, I mean, people were talking about the lame man now walking and praising God. People were talking about how those that oppose Christ come, and the religious leaders put Peter in jail. They seen through it. And they believed what Peter had been preaching, and 5,000 men led their families to follow Christ. In the midst of adversity and persecution, it's important to know what you know. I often say that because it's so true. When you're the sickest, when you're the down and out, when you're the lowest low, the most important thing is to know what you know. Don't let Satan steal that from you. You have God's loyalty. You have the truth. You have a purpose. Know what you know. Verse 4 was Peter knowing what he knew. God was still at work. Souls were being converted. 5,000 men, representing 5,000 families. That's enough to have a shouting fit even in jail. Amen. To know that what you had given your life to accomplish for the cause of Christ was being used. People were listening. People, it was making a difference. Just because they got arrested did not keep them from believing what Peter had just preached. The difference now was he had the Holy Spirit of God convicting the people's hearts and directing them to the truth. Yeah, it's the apostolic age. He knew that God was still at work. He knew that Jesus was alive. Peter had been discipled by Jesus Christ, and he was a hard-headed person to disciple. He just kept on making messes after messes, saying ridiculous things. Jesus was patient. He continued to help Peter to see what he needed to see. Now Peter is there as he had been prepared for the work that God had called him to do in the apostolic age. Peter knows, even though he's in prison, Jesus is still alive. Jesus is alive. He's sitting on the right hand of God the Father. He is coming back. There will be a rapture. Know what you know. God is still working through Christianity today. Jesus is still alive. And the last thing, he was on the right side. Have you ever doubted being on the right side? I'm not talking Republican or Democrat. I'm talking about pro-Christ or anti-Christ. Are you on the right side? If you're on the right side, you're on the winning side. I was there at a Sword preacher's meeting years back, the last message that Curtis Hudson preached. I heard him preach it. He was dying of cancer. He couldn't walk up on the platform. They had somebody on both sides, took him up there and leaned him against the podium there because he couldn't hardly stand. And he started preaching. As he started preaching, you could see his body gain strength. He stood up straight. I'd heard him preach many times and never heard him preach with the power that he had that night. And he preached, "I'm on the winning side." He knew he was getting ready to go to heaven. He knew that his work, his race on this earth was just about over. And he preached, "I'm on the winning side." When you know Jesus is still alive, he's sitting on the right hand of God, and you know you're on his side, you're on the winning side. No matter what you might have to go through, no matter what kind of adversity, no matter what kind of persecution, no matter if you're going to jail or not, you're on the winning side. If you're on the side of Christ. Question being, what side of Christ are you on? Anti or pro? Sure glad tonight. I am pro Christ. I trust you are too. If I could have ever head bowed and ever eye closed. Yeah. Persecution came back. He didn't go looking for it, but he was prepared for it. Oh, devil doesn't want you doing the work God has for you to do. You're going to go through some struggles. You're going to face some tough times.
You're going to face adversity. Yeah. Don't go looking for it, but be ready for it by being pro-Christ. Yeah, looking to Him. Father, we bow before You now. We love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. And I just pray that as we have preached this passage of Scripture that You have given to us concerning Peter and the opposition that's coming back, I pray, God, that we would learn from this, be strengthened by this, and leave this place rejoicing that we get to serve a risen Savior. I pray for those here in this auditorium. I pray for those at home, all that are viewing. I pray, God, that each one would just search their hearts right now to make sure that they are pro-Christ. Blessing this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.